Check, 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 check. Yay! Good morning, friends, and Happy New Year. As we come together, let's begin with scripture. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star as it arose, and we come to worship him." Herod was deeply disturbed by their questions, as was all of Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law. "Where did the prophets say the Messiah would be born?" he asked them. "In Bethlehem," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. O Bethlehem of Judah, you are not just a lowly village in Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod sent a private message to the wise men, asking them to come see him. At this meeting, he learned the exact time when they first saw the star. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way. Once again, the star appeared to them, guiding them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house where the child and his mother Mary were, and they fell down before him and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is the word of God for the people of God. We say, thanks be to God. My name is Kathy Vidic. I get to be the kids and family ministry pastor here at Bethany, and today I get to be with you. Will you join me in prayer? Holy God, you have invited us here. You woke us up, got our feet on the floor, and allowed us to make our way into your presence. We ask, God, that we would open ourselves to hear and to see all that you have before us on this first Sunday of our new year. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Amen. Can we stand and worship together? Happy New Year. Good to see such a large crowd this morning. Good to know everybody. Had a nice time. You know, it's good to see everybody this morning. Come on, let's worship God. Trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Can we sing it one more time? Let's sing that. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but only trust in Jesus. Christ alone, Christ alone.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord alone. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds.
Savior's love through the storm. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
One more time, Christ the Lord.
Christ the Lord, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love. Cares you keep, the thoughts you think, it's not all wasted time. Seeking you will find. Joy still comes in the morning, hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. There's still good news worth repeating. Just lift your head and keep singing. Praise the Lord. The years roll by, we wonder why we lost our way from home. Our father finds the child inside we had left for growing old. Awake, 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 my soul. Come on, clap your hands. Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. Still good news worth repeating. Lift your head and keep singing. Praise the Lord. Here we go. Joy still comes in the morning. Hey. Hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. There's still good news worth repeating. Lift your head and keep singing. Praise the Lord. Let everything, praise the Lord. Let everything, let everything praise. Come on, can we sing it together? Let everything, let everything praise the Lord. In the working, in the waiting, let everything praise the Lord. In the dying, in the breaking, let everything praise the Lord. In the breaking, in the rising, let everything praise the Lord. Lord, praise the Lord. Lord, praise the joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. Still good news worth repeating. Lift your hand and keep singing. Praise the Lord. One more time, say, joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. You're alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. Still good news worth repeating. Lift your head, praise the Lord.
Come on, can we just sing this one time? Just let everything, let everything, let everything praise the, let everything, let's sing it together. Let everything, The scripture said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. And I think about all we've been through the past 2 years. Truly making it and walking it through this year is nothing but a blessing. It's nothing but a privilege of the Almighty God. And we don't take it for granted that we get to stand here before him today. So can we just say this with some conviction this morning? Just sing it once. Let everything, let everything praise the. Let everything, let everything. One more time, oh, let everything, let everything praise the Lord. Please may stand up for our children's prayer.
Okay, we'll come back to the prayer. They'll work on the sound. You can be seated. Thank you for being here this morning. When you do hear the prayer, you will know that is the happiest New Year wishes ever. Let me take mask one off. There we go. Is that better? Thank you. All right. Will you pray with me? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me and all of us here. Diminish me, O God, until all that is seen and heard is you. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I know we have masks on, but you can talk and you can sing. That's not against the rules. Amen? Nice. All right. All right. So this is a time for new things, is it not? Yes, Pastor Kathy, it is. Thank you. The church's new year actually started the first week of Advent, and in that time, we heard scriptures about how God is getting ready to do a new thing. Our God seems to love to do new things. The angel Gabriel came to Mary to announce she would bear the Son of God. That was a new thing. An angel appeared to Joseph in a dream to let him know that it was God's plan that Mary was expecting and to not break the engagement with her. That was a new thing. An angel appeared, Mary's cousin Elizabeth, barren until very old age, was expecting a child. Now, that was not a new thing for God, but Gabriel appearing to her husband Zechariah and announcing that his child would prepare the people for the coming of the Lord, that was a new thing. God's son born in a stable and laid in a manger, new thing. Angels appearing to the shepherd and inviting them to be the newborn king's first guest, very new thing. A new star announcing the birth to wise men in the east, men who were not Jewish, men outside of the tribe of God's called people who decided to follow the star to pay homage to the newborn king, new thing. Which is fascinating because the not newborn king, the king currently seated on the throne, King Herod, who was not just their leader but also ranked himself with the tribe of God's called people, didn't even know there was a newborn king, even though hundreds of years before, through the prophet Isaiah, God told the tribe of God's called people that it was going to happen. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? Isaiah said, oh, so many years before. God's people had been expecting a Messiah for hundreds and hundreds of years, a Messiah who was to be born in Bethlehem, the scriptures said. But King Herod didn't see it coming, and apparently he wasn't the only one, because it wasn't his leading priest and teachers of religious law that told him about the baby's births. It was the wise men from the east, men from outside of his own tribe. Our God seems to love to do new things. And new things often seem hard. Even new things we want. For example, can we talk for a minute about New Year's resolutions? Who has one that you'd be willing to share here? Or if you're watching online, you could type it into the chat. Anyone? All right. Well, a quick Google search turned up the top 10 New Year's resolutions for 2021, and I imagine that they are remarkably similar to those in 2022. Here are just a few of them. Focus on improving your health. Look after your finances. Pursue an aspiration, invest in your relationships, look after your mental health, live more sustainably, disconnect from your phone, and read more books. Now, that was just a few of them, but I think that's a pretty comprehensive list. And what I want to suggest is that while the result of having accomplished these resolutions is the thing we say we desire, we don't usually enjoy the getting there part. That's why January 17th is designated as Ditch New Year's Resolution Day. We might say we desire the new thing, and in our hearts and in our minds, we really want the new thing, but getting to the new thing is hard because new requires change, and change is not easy because change forces us into new patterns of behavior when we were perfectly comfortable in our own old ones. Thank you so very much. What we'd really like, I think, is a new outcome of the same comfy behaviors. We may want to lose weight, but we don't want to give up eating dessert or french fries or chips or the extra helpings or making our serving sizes smaller or making those treats less frequent. We may want to be more fit, but we don't want to necessarily get out of bed in the morning or exert more energy in the evening to go to the gym or to the fitness studio or even to take a walk in the neighborhood. We may want to live within a budget, but we can't quite find the time to sit down with all of those numbers and make one. We may want to disconnect from our technology, but the habit is just so ingrained that short of programming our phone to elicit an electric shock when we touch it, we don't know how to break the habit. And so we give up. The new thing we want does not seem worth the painfully big changes we think we need to make in order to achieve them. And that is exactly why, research shows, we fail to achieve our resolutions, whether they come at the beginning of a new year or not, is because of our efforts to get to the new. The only way we think that we can see to get there is by making changes that feel too big. It feels like all or nothing. Jordan Harbinger is a thought leader in behavioral change, and he hosts a podcast. And he says that that podcast is to, and I quote, decode the stories, secrets, and skills of the world's most brilliant and interesting people and turn their wisdom into practical advice that you can use to impact your own life and those around you. Just in case you'd like to give it a listen. Some of the pastors listened to an interview he did with a behavior scientist named B.J. Fogg, who wrote a book called Tiny Habits, The Small Changes That Change Everything. In it, Dr. Fogg said that simplicity changes behavior. Now, Harbinger had his own story to tell about how the truth of this plays out. He told a story about when he was in college. He wanted to do couch to 5K running plan. Now, that's when you've never run in a long time or ever in your life, and you want to finish a 5K. It takes you through gradual steps of a training plan. Now, he was in college in Michigan in the middle of winter. It was January. The dorm rooms were so cold that they had to have space heaters. So every morning when he told himself, I am going to get up and run, it was too hard to see himself getting out of bed because that was the warmest spot. He could not envision himself getting outside to go for a run. So after a few weeks of this, he realized that his goal needed to shift, and he rethought it. And so instead of saying, all right, tomorrow I'm going to run my training plan, he said, tomorrow I'm going to put on my shoes and walk outside. And then, if I want to go back to bed, I will. Now, some days he confesses that he does go back to bed, but only one out of about 30 days. Because once he was dressed and outside, it seemed like it would actually take less time to get warm by running than by heading back to his chilly dorm room. That tiny change, shifting his goal from running to putting on his running shoes and stepping outside, is the thing that made the difference. Dr. Fogg said, tiny changes help us change the way we think. Just take the first step in the process, he says. The fact that you do that first step has the power to help you continue. Now, you might be saying to yourself, that's awesome, Pastor Kathy, but why are we talking about that in worship? And I would say, friends, that God is always wanting to do a new thing in us. And sometimes we seem to overwhelm our own selves with how we think about those new things in a way that keeps us from pursuing God-sized, God-ordained, God-desired change. John 10:10 tells us that Jesus came so that we could live life to the fullest, but in order to enjoy that life as fully as possible, we need to be as close to Jesus as possible, and that means having an openness to God, doing new things in our lives to help us get there. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss the opportunity to bask in his presence, the essence of which is unconditional, unfathomable, awesome love. And, well, also we're talking about it today because as we turn to a new year, it just seems like a good time. Now, you may be asking yourself, I wonder what kind of God-sized, God-ordained, God-desired change Pastor Kathy thinks I might need to consider. Well, I think that probably any change that will help God's kingdom on earth look a little bit more like God's kingdom in heaven is a great place to start, I think. But what I know for sure is the kind of change God wants me to make, and for me, that is always inspired by the Holy Spirit, and a good deal of the time I find it in Scripture. And I imagine that the discovery process might be really similar for you. For example, a few years ago, the staff watched a TED Talk on something called restorative practice, which is a way of navigating and resolving conflict. And the speaker was telling a story about a time she was in conflict with someone, and she was right in the middle of it. And so she said, I paused and asked myself, who do I want to be right now in this? I imagine it was something like, if this moment was a movie, how do I want who I'm playing to be perceived? And as soon as she had clarity about who she wanted to be, she proceeded to do her part to resolve the conflict and help mend the relationship. That's a powerful tool, don't you think? For me, it's not just about pausing in the midst of conflict to evaluate, but it's about pausing in all of life to evaluate how my actions and words are reflective of how I want to see myself and how I want others to relate to me. Am I recognizable as a child of God, a follower of Jesus in this moment? Would the adjectives that people would use to describe me be words like empathetic, compassionate, generous, kind, all of those fruit of the Spirit words, would they be used to describe my behavior? And what would be the change that I need to make so that those qualities are more and more recognizable in me in every situation? The one thing that I need to do is to ask Jesus to help me stop and ask that question of myself. Pretty simple, right? Last year, I was reading through the Gospel of Matthew, and I was reading through chapter 5, which is where we find the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who mourn, who are meek, who are merciful, pure in heart, and peacemakers. This, in Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes is the Jesus that we could listen to all day long, right? He goes on to say that we are the salt of the earth, we are the light of the world, and he tells us to let our light shine, and we say, yes, Jesus, we can do that. We would love to do that. But then, listen to what Jesus does. He says, but I warn you, unless you obey God better than the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees do, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven at all. He goes on. You have heard that the law of Moses says, do not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the high council. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. I am a mother of three and have been married for 35 years. And so I can confess to you that there have been days when I have done all three of those things before I even left for work in the morning. And when I read that, I had to read it again. I was like, let me read it in context. Surely that doesn't say what I think that it is saying. Let me look up that Greek word that they used for idiot and see if maybe it meant something different back then. P.S., it did not. It means empty-headed. Have you ever thought someone was empty-headed? Oh. I don't know about how it works for you, but my frustration can play out in those ways, and more often than I'd like to admit, it comes out just that way. And to use a church phrase, I believe that that day in that scripture, the Holy Spirit convicted me. Because how I treasure the people that God puts in my life is just as important to God as how I treasure Him. God wanted to do a new thing in me. And those, for me, those are the kinds of things that feel like big, hard changes, because the circumstances that causes frustration can pop up in any given moment, right? Which means God wants this new thing to be happening in me all the time. Which, if I think of this in terms of something I have to do, makes me feel exhausted, because I would feel like I am the one who has to figure out all those small-sized, tiny change steps that I would have to employ in every situation where frustration might happen so that I could fix this about myself. And that just feels too hard. Have you ever felt God wanting to do something new in your life that just felt too hard? If so, I want to suggest that God might have a different perspective, and here's why I think that. In his letter to the church in Rome, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, and I think we have this for the screen. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Okay, I know. That sounds like a big new thing that God wants to do, and it feels weighty. But here's the thing. God is the one who does that big work. Did you catch that part of verse 2? It said, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. God is going to transform because God is going to do the one that changes the way you think. We know the way to form a new habit or achieve a resolution is to change the way we think, right? Science tells us that. But when the change we seek is a change that God wants to make in us, God is the one who makes that change in us. God is the one who does the heaviest lifting. God is the one who does the hardest part. Our job, the first step, the tiny habit we have to create, is to let God do it. To offer ourselves, our heart, soul, mind, and bodies to God and say, okay, God, please do this thing in me. And then, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can continue to grow in that direction. Now, is it instantaneous? No. But you can see progress. And so, one day, after the Holy Spirit works in you and works in you and works in you, you will suddenly realize the thing that used to pluck your very last nerve is rolling off your back. You don't even notice it anymore. And when I stop to think about that, it takes my breath away. Because in all the new things Jesus did, I think we see a glimmer of all the new things that are possible for us if we just give ourselves to God. New things like healed relationships, new things like forgiven sins, no matter the sin. new things, like outsiders brought inside, no matter what caused them to be outside. New things, like being restored in heart, mind, and body, no matter what caused the need for restoration. New things, like accepting others and accepting self unconditionally, ourselves and others, all others. New things, like being nourished with a new kind of meal that sustains us for all the new things God wants to do in us so that we can live the full and abundant lives Christ came so that we could have. Today, in just a few moments, we get to celebrate that meal, which is so central to our faith. In it, we remember Jesus' life and his sacrifice for us. We remember that we are called to unity as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we give thanks. Thanks that God raised Jesus from the dead, for his victory over even death, for the life we are promised to come in heaven. Thanks for his extravagant love shown to us in all of this and for all time. Now, as I make my way to the table of grace, if you're joining us from home, you might want to take this opportunity to grab some crackers and a little juice to celebrate with us. If you're in the sanctuary, you probably received a Ziploc baggie, and inside the Ziploc baggie is a disposable cup with juice and a wafer. I will leave it to your discretion whether you want to take these home. The COVID numbers are rising again, and I just want you to feel comfortable doing with whatever you do. All are welcome. At Jesus' table that last night, there were tax collectors and sinners, deniers and betrayers, and those were his disciples. And look what a new thing he did for them. The Lord be with you. And also, I'm sorry. Did I forget the prayer of confession? Is that where we were? We can go back. All right? Okay. Join with me so that as we come before the table, we come confessing that God is God and we are not. O God, our guide, who once used a star to lead people to Christ, we confess our poor sense of direction. We let ourselves become confused. We fail to follow the signs you provide. Forgive our waywardness, O God. Lead us to the Christ so that we may follow his way to you. Amen. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. To all who have received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We are accepted. We are forgiven. We are loved. This gift we have from God. Thanks be to God. And now, will you pray with me? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. You sent a star to guide wise men to where the Christ was born, and in your signs and witnesses in every age and through all the world, you have led your people from far places to his light. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many from the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. So now, in your hearts, come to this table, you who have much faith and you who would like to have more, you who have been to this sacrament often and you who have not been for a long time, you who have tried to follow Jesus and you who have failed. Come, it is Christ who invites us to meet him here. You can peel away the top layer. This is the body of Christ, broken for you and for all of us. And this is the blood of Christ, shed for you and for me and for all of us. Holy and merciful God, we give you thanks for this amazing meal in which you give yourself for us. Do a new thing in us, O God. Transform us more and more into the persons you created us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Stand together. I count on one finger, never fails.
to glorify, glorify the name of all names. Oh, nothing can stand against. I choose to pray. Oh, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against. Oh, yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will for all my days.
I invite you to listen to our friend who's praying for us today with the kids' prayer.
Dear God, you are a God of new things. Thank you for this new day. Thank you for this new year. Thank you for sending us the new baby Jesus to help us understand your love for us in a whole new way. Please make our hearts new once more, so that we can love you and love others the way Jesus taught us to. We pray this in his name. Amen. And I hope you have a very, 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 very happy new year!
And so now as we prepare to leave this place and go in mission and ministry to all the world, I want to say thank you for all of the ways that you continue to be faithful in your support of Bethany so that we can be in ministry to those in our community and far beyond. I want to invite you to check out our missions page on the website where you can find information about ways you can still connect with the Cold Weather Shelter, which is coming up. And now, may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may lead you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. So now go with the wind at your back and the sun on your face, with a song in your heart and the promise of grace. Go in peace and in truth, and let love lead your way. Go with God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
I choose to pray. Ian, could you mute all the instruments so we can unplug?